Coming up on 617 at KLIF, President Trump says that, quote, only one thing will work in dealing with North Korea. So is he calling for war? Joining us to talk about the latest developments is UNT political science professor Michael Gregg. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. So last week, the State Department said the lines of communications with Kim Jong-un were open, hinting at possibly some sort of negotiations or a truce. And then we have the president's tweet. So what do you think the situation really is?
You know, it's really tough to say, but I think the president's tweets really took everybody by surprise, including the Secretary of State, who had talked about the open communication lines with the North Koreans. So I think it certainly complicated diplomacy a great deal.
What everybody's worried about, of course, is that Kim Jong-un is not the kind of individual that you would want to issue threats or try to force him into calling your bluff, because he just might do it.
I think that's right. And actually, I think the bigger worry that I have is less the worry that he would be calling a bluff, and more a worry that the North Koreans are in a situation as they're developing their nuclear program, is that anything that essentially makes the North Koreans convinced that the Americans are likely to launch a first attack will make the North Koreans more likely to calculate that they're better off striking first. And so even if the U.S. doesn't have any sort of interest in launching a first attack against the North Koreans, doesn't have any interest in an invasion, and I think almost all analysts across the board, Republican and Democrat, recognize that a second Korean War would be catastrophic. Even if the U.S. doesn't have any interest in doing that, if the North Koreans fear that that's likely, that increases the likelihood that they would strike first. And so my worry is that the sorts of tweets that the president is issuing actually increases the risk of the two sides kind of blundering into a war that neither really wants.
Do you think there are any warning signs we could sort of be on the lookout for to determine if, in fact, we are closer to an all-out war?
Well, I think we probably would start to see more troop movements, more naval movements in the region. It's hard to know what the president meant by his tweet, whether he was talking about the idea of, you know, maybe an airstrike or something like that, in which case it would be a lot harder to see what the first steps would be. I think actions particularly by our allies in the region, like South Korea and Japan, if we were to see them, you know, moving to a more aggressive posture, that would suggest something was in the offing. But the president tends to tweet these things very kind of off the cuff, that oftentimes it's hard to know whether there's kind of a calculated decision behind it or whether this is just kind of what he's saying in the moment in response to events.
You mentioned a couple minutes ago Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, kind of mentioned in passing, and there's a lot of suspicion that he may be out before too long. He's not gotten along well with the president, apparently. And there's people that say that he called the president a moron. You know, have any thoughts about the Secretary of State's position at this point?
Yeah, I think it's almost a certainty that Secretary Tillerson will be replaced. I think the only reason he hasn't been replaced now is because there have been so many changes in the administration to date that I think replacing the Secretary of State right now would really look pretty bad politically and cause a great deal of concern, especially amongst Republicans in the Senate, which I think we heard some of from Senator Corker yesterday. But I would expect by the end of the year, if not early next year, unless something changes, I think we can expect to see a new Secretary of State. It's just really hard to see a Secretary of State remaining in that position when his actions have been so dramatically undercut publicly by the president. It's pretty clear that he and the president are not on the same page.
I saw an article in Politico saying that more than half Americans don't think Donald Trump is fit to serve as president, yet he has a clear path to winning re-election. How could that be?
Well, I mean, part of it is the structure of our political system with the Electoral College. I guess I see a path for re-election. I'm not sure that it's necessarily a clear path. I would probably leave that to my American politics colleagues. But you know, we're a divided country between Republicans and Democrats, and the president still remains quite popular amongst Republican voters. So I think that's part of what gives him you know, decent odds of reelection. But these things are hard to prognosticate this far out. I think, you know, a year ago, we were a few weeks out from the election, and I think most analysts saw Hillary Clinton winning the election. Right. So I think that really kind of underscores how hard it is to predict these things even close to an election.
Yeah, trying to figure out why he would win re-election when so many people don't think that he's fit to serve as president is it still begs the question of why was he elected in the first place, which was a huge surprise. But obviously, he tapped a real sore point for some people who are just angry with politics as usual, and many of them still like his performance at this point.
I think that's exactly right, and I think that's exactly the way to think about it. I think that there are a large number of Americans that feel like the political system and feel like the economy haven't worked well for them. And I think many of them looked at then-candidate Trump and now President Trump, looked at him as somebody who would essentially be kind of overturning the table. And they were tired of the status quo, and they saw this as an opportunity to kind of overturn the status quo. And I think that, you know, that doesn't mean that they liked everything about him, but they saw this as an opportunity for kind of a tangible change. And I think we've certainly gotten that. I think it might be a different calculation in the next election, depending upon how his presidency plays out. But yeah, I think it was a real desire for a real kind of significant change.
What kind of grade would you give him so far in foreign policy?
If I'm being honest, I would give him a D minus to an F. I think he has, I genuinely worry about the path that he's taking us on, not only with respect to North Korea, but with respect to Iran. My view of his foreign policy is that he's doing things that are raising the risk of war and not doing them in a way that actually advantages American security. And I think he's increasing the likelihood of confusion by our adversaries, and he's done things that undermine support from our allies. So in the wake of the North Korea crisis, he's attacked the South Korean leadership. Those things are not productive in our foreign policy. So I'm not a big fan of his foreign policy to date.
I think that probably ties in with what we were talking about just a moment earlier, and that is that I think there are a lot of people that support President Trump without knowing or even really caring too much about the issues. They're just mad, and the guy is saying things they wish they could say on the national level.
Yeah, and I think that's a really powerful force politically. I think, you know, in general, you know, people tend to pay more attention to domestic politics than foreign policy, except when there's a crisis occurring. So I think in general, if the president struggles in foreign policy, it really only matters politically when there's a kind of a real kind of tangible crisis that Americans feel. And I think as long as Americans, as a decent chunk of Americans, have this sense that the political system doesn't work for them or isn't fair for them, that does kind of help to encourage his support. But again, I think it's hard to see kind of what the long-term prospects for that look like. And I think we're seeing some of the efforts to kind of play into that with, you know, some of the debate over, you know, kneeling during the national anthem in the NFL. Those are kind of domestic, hot-button domestic issues that I think the administration is kind of focused on as well.
All right. Michael Gregg, UNT political science professor. Thanks for your time this morning.